We are going to look at favor up close again. I'll just say some things to you, and then we're going to end up at somewhere where you know, number 622, if you want to go over there, that's where we'll end up after I say a few things to you. Hi there. Back from the forest. Praise God. So we're talking about favor up close, and what we're seeing now, church, is that, welcome internet audience. We're glad you're with us. Father is trying to move us beyond the spiritual plateaus that we've been in and move us further into this awakening. So that's what we're actually doing when we're looking at these things. So we're talking about being face to face with God. We're talking about stewarding favor. And we said on Sunday that in order to do that, you needed friendship, fellowship, and partnership with God. And, you know, I don't believe if there's any, I'm going to say almost zero, people in this church who really care much about religion. It's just not something that we're that interested in. The fundamental difference between religion and Christianity is the issue of knowing and being known by the Father and just knowing about Him. We don't want to just know about God. We could just know about God, but we've already been there, done that, and we're ready to know Him, and we want Him to know us. In fact, Jesus made that pretty clear in Matthew when He warned them that the Father would say to some people, "I never knew you, depart from me." What's that all about, you know? I don't think some people get past that in their thinking, but knowing someone is not the same as knowing about them. And, you know, we all have heroes. If you just think about that, you have some heroes in your life. And you may know their birthday. You may have a picture of them. You may know statistics about them or whatever, but you don't know them. And so we just know about them. So now what I'm about to say may seem a little odd to some people, but I really think you all will get this. God knows something about everyone, but He doesn't know everyone. Well, God knows everything. Well, He does know you. He knows about you, but He's just like anybody else when He wants to be in relationship. He's going to know you if you have something to do with Him. And so that's what that scripture means. I mean, He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him, but that has to be your choice. And so He's sort of pedestrian-like when it comes to that. He's not quite so kinetic as you may think in that way. Yes, He knows every number. He not only knows how many hairs you have, He knows the number of each one. He knows that. He knows these things about you. But, and I know some of you have less numbers than others, but praise the Lord. But just to know you, that's choice. That's about choice. Okay? So, He can give you the facts, but relationship requires mutual consent and cooperation. So for Him to know me, really, church, I have to open my heart and give Him access to the secret things of my life. Because as you know, and you've heard this, and it's still true, that God is somewhat of a gentleman. He gave you a will, so He's not going to come butting in and trying to force things in your life that you don't want to receive. I think a lot of religions miss this because they think God is just sovereign and He'll just do whatever He wants to. He is sovereign. That is true. But he has already set up what He would do in His word. And in His word, He made certain decisions. And one of the decisions was that He would be good to you. And one of the decisions was that you could have your own will and it would be up to you whether you fail or not. Yeah. Amen. He'd be happy to help you succeed. He's not going to help you fail. But it is your choice. If people don't want God, they don't have to take Him. Just like you probably feel that way as well. If you don't want to like me, fine. You know, I choose to love you, but I don't need to know you if you don't I mean, we need to think more like that and understand that. You know, what are relationships built on? They're built on trust, communication, common interest, time spent together. It's the same way for God, and it's from that place of knowing God, though, see, that you find your purpose. You start finding your purpose when you know Him and when He begins to know you. Amen. So if we are looking scripturally, Jacob is probably the first one that we see who had a revelation encounter with God. Remember when he wrestled? Y'all remember that part when they're having the wrestling match at Camp Peniel? He named it Peniel because he said that means face of God. And he said, I actually was face to face with God. He said, I met God that day. And so he had an experience. He had an encounter with God. God was really happy about it. God blessed him. Now you have to go back and look at Jacob's life. I mean, he wanted that birthright and he got it. But he comes on along and he ends up getting what he needs to get from God. The actual blessing from God. And so he's wearing the blessing. Okay, now fast forward. You know that Abraham, had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had the 12 tribes. And those 12 tribes, Joseph brought them over into Egypt. And after a period of time, they became slaves because they got too big and Pharaoh was afraid. So we fast forward to Moses. And what we actually see about him is he's the next person there. And this is what God tells Moses to say to Israel. And that's where you are right now, Numbers 6:22. The Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. So this is what he wanted declared on who? The children of Israel. Who is that? When Jacob wrestled with God, God changed his name from Jacob to Israel. And so what we're seeing then is God wants to put the same mark on the children of Israel that he put on Israel himself. The blessing. Amen. I want you to wear the blessing. I want you to have the blessing. And I want to know you. Jacob didn't want to let him go. Amen. And so we see God still wanting to do the same thing. I think that, maybe they didn't quite get that, but he's wanting to favor them. God has been trying to get close to his people ever since Adam and Eve. That's what he made them for. See, so he finds Abraham. And Abraham, became God's friend. He had faith in God. He was obedient to God. And then a nation is born out of Abraham. That nation is now being led out by Moses, out of bondage by Moses. God's wanting to restore face-to-face relationship with them. And you remember what they said? You talk to him, Moses. They didn't want to do it. So they didn't really... See, they didn't really get what God was inviting them into. My prayer is that we get what God is inviting us into. He's inviting us into a deeper place, into a different level with Him, into a friendship with Him, into a love relationship with Him that is beyond what we've experienced so far. I pray that you get that. So he's wanting that, and they didn't really get it. So I guess we could actually say that Moses is like one in a million or several million because he got it. He got face to face. He said, I want to see your glory. He wanted in there. I mean, he was the only shiny face in the crowd. So, this is why Moses is standing out. But I think many don't get it because, there's another part to this, and he who has understanding, he who has an ear to hear, get this in your understanding right now. We have to receive a divine grace from God in order to see these things from His perspective. And so when God invites, I'm gonna say it like this, God ignites. And I'll talk to you a little bit more about that. You're not without. When the invitation comes, the rest of it comes with it. I'll say a little bit more about that in just a minute. But you really have to catch that. And I'm going to say something to you that I believe you'll really grab a hold of. The process of perceiving and coming into agreement with God's perspective is called repentance. It's called repentance. Now, you know, we just know, thank God, I love what Jessie was saying earlier. She says, you know, our kids missed having to grow up in religion. The rest of us have had to dump that religion. Get rid of, because we know repentance is you're sorry for your sins. You're sorry for your sins. Well, that does have a quality, because there's actually a verse that says, godly sorrow, leads to repentance. So there's nothing actually wrong with that. But most of us just associate repentance with being sorry. And like I said, we should, but sorry is not repenting. Sorry is being sorry. Being sorry should lead you, and I use sorry lightly because we don't really use that word much, but you know what I mean by that. We wish we hadn't done it. We hadn't been like we have, but it should lead to a place where we receive the power of God to change what we think. Okay? So it's not just, I'm so sorry, like some kids will do.
Yeah.
You remember that kid that you whooped? Excuse me if you don't like that, but when you spanked a child and you knew they really weren't sorry and they'd say, sorry! And you were like, you did not mean, you know, you were just wanting to get after them because they did. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because they were just saying it to get away with it. So that's not really being sorry. So that's not leading to anything except that you might feel better. I don't know. But so, yes, you need to be quiet. Let me help you get over this, because God can come in and build that paradigm in our thinking in which we live for and live from a relationship with Him instead of going through these religious motions. Yeah. Okay? You're just going through a religious motion and just knowing about Him like we were talking about. There's more to it than that. Now, remember that Jesus said this, repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. Change systems. Change your mind. The word repent actually means change your mind. So it's this. I'm going a different direction. I'm not going to think this. I'm not going to live like this. I'm making up my mind. I'm making a choice to do something different. And that's what real repentance means. It's not just about confessing your sins to someone and thinking that you're better, that it's over. That things are much deeper than that. And please don't misunderstand me. Like I said, there is always a place for not being happy about what you did wrong, certainly. Because we love God and we love people and we don't want to waste our lives. But when it comes to repentance, it's about having the grace that God can give you to say, this isn't any good anymore. I need to go this way. I need to change my system. I need to change my thoughts. I need to not walk in fear. I need to not walk in worry. I need whatever it is, and you begin to head in that direction. So, but this is what I wanted you to catch a little earlier. I'll just say it right now. Just by his declaration, he made a repentance available to us. Just by saying, repent, then we could. Just by saying, change your mind, then we could. Y'all see that? There's a grace given when God gives a command. I'm happy about that. So, it's so important. And it's true about all His commands. If He asks you to do something, then He's giving you the grace to do it. Within the command is the grace to move forward. So if He said, move to Marble Falls, start a church, then there was the grace within that command to do it. If he said, you need to go to Victory Church, this is where you'll get life, then there's the grace to do it. And people did it. People moved to do it. But they knew. So there's the grace to take this job. There's the do this. Marry so-and-so. Move away from this. Move away from that person. Stop doing this. All those things have the grace. He never just leaves you to wait. You just, honey, just figure it out on your own, and I hope you have the power to do it. No, you're empowered. So I said all of that to help you see that this is how favor starts. God invites you into a place with him. You obey him, and then he makes a move, and then you make a move, and then you start getting close. And then you get closer, and then favor's now available for a higher place. Let me tell you what I've seen, though. I've seen people that God grants favor to, and they respond, and then they draw closer, okay? And then they steward that favor, and they end up becoming a friend, a partner. They fellowship with God, and things get bigger and bigger, and favor goes further and further in their lives. And you just begin to see that they're just wearing it like a coat. And then also, the other part of stewarding favor, besides just being in relationship with God, which is big, but would be that you notice when you get favor. And you talk about it. We've already had, six favors this week. Mm-hmm. Something like that, that we started taking note of. And you talk about it. That was the favor of God. Look at that. That was the favor of God. Yeah. We had three times God favored us with one person this week.
Yeah.
Three times. Mm-hmm. And then here's another favor and another favor. And it just happens. It just keeps happening. And what do you do? Thank you for it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for favor. Thank you, Lord. And then here it comes again. Yeah, and it gets stronger and it gets stronger. Now, if you're just all crabby and I don't know why anything doesn't happen to me, well, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah.
You're just going to tear it all apart. But if you just start, I'm talking down to the parking place.
Yeah.
But can I tell you, you got to go further than the parking place. Amen. So then there are the people who they see that they have favor, but they only use it for their own success. What happens there? They level off. There's still favor there some, but it begins to level off. They're not climbing. Because church, favor has a purpose. I'll talk about that in just a minute. But let's just say that today, that you're going, okay, I've kind of fallen down on noticing my favor. I'm going to pick it back up. I'm going to start fresh about favor. Then I'll just tell you right now, there's two things that you need to consider and notice about the favor that God gave Abraham, and this will help you. And the first thing would be that Abraham had faith in God. So it was his faith. See, radical faith always gives priority to what God has said over what God didn't say. Did you get that? Radical faith is always going to, it's absolutely going to be that it gives priority to what God has said. Okay? So it's what's written. It's not going to be the other way around. And so, there's your start right there. Now think about this. He's the perfect example. God asked Abraham to leave where he lived, but he didn't bother to tell him where he was going.
Yeah.
He just said, if you're going to fulfill your assignment, you can't do it in this old environment.
Right.
You have to be in a new environment. And so when God gives you, I think this is so amazing. I pray that we'll get a hold of this. When God gives us only the guidance we need for the moment, it tends to keep us closer to him.
True.
You see that?
Yeah.
He's very smart.
Yes, he is.
Because then you're, okay, walk to Debbie. Okay, so then I walked to Debbie. And then it's like, now what? And then he has to tell me, give Debbie a hug. So, okay, then I give Debbie. So but you see what I mean? So what's the next thing? So he's pretty smart about that. So don't get agitated that you don't know all the way to the end. This is where you learn to trust and go. All right, we're going to do that. Okay, Lord, you said to do that. Okay, I'm going to do that. And then he's ahead of you. He's going to show you the way to go. But this is helping you develop knowing him and him knowing you, as opposed to you just knowing about him and guessing what you're going to do. He's right there with you. Does that make sense to y'all? I just love that. I think it's so important to be thinking like that. So it helps us keep being more dependent on him. And so, that being true, that's the lesson that every person marked by favor must learn. If you're walking in favor, this is the way you're going to walk. Okay, come on. Do this. All right. Okay, now you haven't done this, so look at this now. Okay, let me encourage you in this. And he keeps you going. Then the second thing is that favor was given, this is important, with a specific purpose in mind. You don't have favor on your life just to say, hey, I've got favor. You have favor on your life because favor always comes with an assignment. And so in Abraham's case, it was to build a nation. Now listen, this then was to impact Abraham and his descendants, okay? And it had momentum that would and should affect generations. And it did. Can you see that? Do you know that it did? See, even though there were hiccups along the way, there was always a person or a remnant that kept going with the blessing to this very day. So despite the persecution, despite the hard times, despite everything that Israel's had to go through, you cannot articulate all of the success. It is so big. They're so successful. And each person, I mean, they've won more Nobel Prizes than anyone on earth. They're the reason you have that cell phone. There's all sorts of things that they have done. They just know. We're chosen. It's in their DNA. They know. So what Abraham did, he was the first Hebrew, it's passed down through generations because he had faith and he understood that this favor that was on his life, was for a purpose. He had an assignment to carry out. We all have assignments to carry out. And so you can read the Bible over and over. You see all the stories. And I just want you to know this. God has a story for you. And you're being written about in a book yourself. God's writing about you. There's a book called The Book of Bree. And he's got all these things in it about Bree. And all the successes that she has and is going to have. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he wants to pour out his favor on you, and he wants that grace and favor, though, to do what Abraham did, affect generations. I was just having a conversation with Jesse. I had this with Danny and several of the others, that what we're doing in these days, so, you know, we're not a super church or anything, but what's being planted in you should go forward. And what's being planted in our children will go forward. And we should be people that can literally affect a nation. Yeah. And don't think we're not. Because our prayers are affecting nations. And we're not nearly done. And some of our teenagers are already ready to minister. They're so close. And so you know, you're not a success if you don't have a successor. And so that's something we work on. You're not a leader if nobody follows you. And so what you do is you build on these things, but you do it with favor, and you do it because you're granted the grace to walk in this favor, and then this should affect people in a mighty way. And so with all of you having favor on your lives, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren have a great legacy.
Amen to that.
Well, Pastor, they're not serving God, but you are.
Amen.
And they'll come around.
Yep.
Praise the Lord. So your favor has an assignment, a purpose. It accomplishes and it speaks. I don't mind telling you that we were actually looking at some property for the church this week. And the more we rode with the guy over the property, you could just feel the favor rising. Well, I really want y'all to have it. And it wasn't just a sales pitch either. We've known this man for a long time. Long time. And you could just you sense if there was a way, he was going to help us. First, we need to know if that's God's property.
Right.
But once we know, that's all we'll have to consider. We won't have to consider anything else but that favor, which somehow, bless God, is on our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
So I just declare it's on your life. That you get the property you want to get. So, Joseph, let's talk about him a minute here before we close. He got a revelation of God's favor. Now, he's in the pit. But before he went to the pit, he had a revelation. How did he get a revelation? Well, his father favored him. He favored him and Benjamin because they were Rachel's children. And he loved him some Rachel. Okay. And he loved those two kids. And he favored them. And it was wide open. Everybody could see that favor. So he gets his coat of many colors that Dolly Parton wrote a song about. He got his coat that's made. That's not really true in the Hebrew, how it turned out. But this coat was special to him. And so then he has these dreams. So now he knows that favor is on his life and he's going to do something. I would submit to you that he didn't have to go the way of the pit because he wasn't headed to the dream. He had the dream in him. That's my personal opinion, but I think I'm right. But he did. He made some mistakes, as many as us have, where we've opened our mouth too soon. That's what he did. Shouldn't have told those brothers that. Right? Y'all are going to bow down to me. I'd say no. They were already mad at him for being the favorite.
Right.
You got to know when to hold them, don't you? Anyway, so what we know about him, though, he goes from the pit to the palace. And so there was great purpose there. What did he do? Well, he saved the world. He fed the world around him. That 7 years that he put up, he told them what to do. He told Pharaoh the dream, you better start saving now because famine is coming. He saved enough so that not only did he feed the rest of the world, but he made some good deals. He is really smart and he made some really good deals. And so that's what's on you. So he rose to the top, had great purpose, fed the world. And I would just say to you that divine favor causes you to rise to the top. And it causes you to rise to the top of your sphere of influence. And you're like thinking, well, you know, Pastor, my sphere of influence isn't all that big. Oh, you'd be surprised. You might be surprised how many tiers of people you actually reach. You're like, well, you know, we're here and we have our 160 people and then, no, church. We touch way more lives than that. We touch lives that we're connected with in churches all over the place. But then we've had the prison ministry for years, touching lives. And then each of you've had ministries that you've dealt with, where you work, what you do. There's lots of going on there. Even we stepped out of the ministry for 1 year to get out of debt. And while we were working, we had tremendous favor. And all eyes were on us when we went to work for the phone company. We actually worked there and were in the ministry. But we took a whole year to get off of the staff and go and work. And y'all know the story about that. But you affect people and they don't forget. Some of those people still follow us on Facebook. And that's been 20 years. 23 years. You affect people. You're going to affect them every day of your life.
That's right.
And so it wouldn't hurt you to have even some more favor.
Amen.
Get to know God. He wants to pour it out on you. He wants you to have what you shouldn't have to have a need. Well, I sure wish I could figure that out. See, stop trying to figure it out. Just get close to the one that has everything. You know, if you thought I was a billionaire, if you thought I was, and I was, and you thought about hanging around with me every day, you would probably figure out pretty soon that I'd go ahead and help you. Wouldn't you? Would you think that about me? That I'd go ahead and help you? That I wouldn't just keep the billion? Well, you know what I would. As long as God said. Well, how much more will God do it? And that's not the reason we hang out with him. We hang out with him for a lot of reasons. Because he is love. He is joy. He's goodness. He's wonderful. He's done everything for us. And still wants to do everything for us. He hasn't stopped. And yet we go back to wondering and struggling when we don't have to. We don't really have to struggle. We just get involved in all these things. You know, we looked at the land and we said, well, we could do this, we could do that. What if we did this? And some things came up that sound like they could work. Well, and we've done this much. We've already reached this threshold, so we could do that. And then we looked at each other and said, none of it matters. It's just whatever God wants to do. None of it matters. I can think of a million ways to do something, but none of it matters. I can think of 500 things why someone acts like they do. And none of it matters.
No.
It's all speculation.
Yeah.
It's just me using my imagination on why I would think someone is some, and it has absolutely no authority.
Sure it doesn't.
It's not going to change their life because I think I know what's wrong with them.
No.
And to sit around and waste my time and waste God's atmosphere on what's going on with so-and-so is absolutely useless. Kind of reminds me of when we were real young and we'd have these prayer meetings and we'd go to a friend's house and we'd talk about everybody for 35 or 40 minutes and then pray for them for 10. That wasn't a prayer meeting. That was gossip. Thank God God put up with us and grew us up. We need to talk about it. No, you don't. You need to pray. It isn't really any of your business. We make too much stuff our business. Well, why do you think they're like that? I don't know. I don't care. If the Lord wants me to know, he'll let me know. I'm just going to pray for them. Because it doesn't matter. I'm not their God. Well, you know, no. Think of the things you could be thinking about. Why did they say that to me like that? Well, you know, they probably, and in the end, it means nothing except you probably poisoned someone, their mind about someone. Amen. Why should we poison each other's minds about people? Why don't we just say they're a sweet person? God loves them. Why don't we just say, why do we need to bother to do all that? All of our conspiracy theories about people. Let's talk about it for a little while longer. I see we seem to be weeding the garden tonight.
From conversations we had just before church.
Everybody does it. We're like, well, what do you think about? Doesn't really matter. Your speculation has no authority over people. Just pray for them. You don't know what they've been through. You don't know what people have been through. And we don't need to, and where we've been to, we don't need to stay there. We're going to go higher. We're going to go higher in the favor. We're going to know him and be known by him. I don't know about you, but when I get there, I don't want to hear, now, who are you? I want God to say, come here, baby. Get right up here on Papa's lap. We're going to talk about all this. I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear now, yeah, you did, you were all right. We got you out of trouble a lot. True. You had a big mouth a lot of times. True. But I want to hear some of the good stuff. And if you have favor, you have funds. This is off the Holy Ghost top. You have favor, you're going to have some funds. F-U-N-D-S. You're going to have some money. You start finding favor, you're going to start having some money. Today, and I don't tell you this in any way to brag, okay? I'm just telling you this because I saw something working in the Holy Ghost today. But we ran to town real quick and just picked up. We were eating at Doc's, and there were two military people sitting there with their grandmother. And I heard them say, do you have a military discount? And when they were paying, and I said, ma'am, give me their check. They were so grateful, but they weren't as grateful as I was. And they're like, oh, thank you so much. And they're going, and I said, thank you so much for serving this country. Yes. But thank God I could do that. Yes. And we got in the car and we were just thanking God for that he brought us to a place where we don't have to suffer financially. That if there's something that we need to do to bless someone, we can do it. Yeah. Because of the favor of God on our lives. And immediately the Holy Spirit came in the car. And I don't know, someone in there prophesies a lot. So we just took off. And it's just, these things are so linked together. You have the favor. You have the funds. You do the giving. You're grateful you were able to. Then here he comes for the next thing. Do you remember what he said? Oh, yes. He said, and I've never heard this before. I'm going to go ahead and tell him. Can I tell him anything?
Yeah.
Okay. He said, your public ministry is about to change.
Increase.
It's going to increase. Now, do y'all think that that's not connected? Do you think it's connected? It's connected. What? Because what are we talking about? Favor. Going to higher levels.
Come on.
Do you see it? Tell me if you don't so we can repeat the whole thing again. No, I'm kidding. All right. Praise the Lord. Y'all received this tonight? Let me see here. I'll tell you one more thing and we'll close here. God's favor has a way of also provoking people that don't have it. You need to know that. And it started way back. Cain and Abel, Satan and Job, Jacob and Esau, David and Saul, Christ and the Pharisees, and through every generation, church. There's always been someone who's not going to like your favor. And you can clearly see them through all the hatred. The enemy has always hated the objects of God's affection, and that happens to be us. And that's why you see this country. Yeah. You're about to see something really good here. In fact, we had something good happen in the world today, you all know. I'll tell you in a minute. Let you think about it. Something really good. But here's what we need to see. We need to see this. Don't let, because, well, if the enemy, I don't know if I want to have favor because the enemy will come after me. Are you kidding me? He's under your feet. And here's the truth, and I'll close with this line. As we've seen, when we pursue the glory and the intimacy that we were created for, God ends up with the perfect conditions in which to rise and judge his enemies. The favor on our lives forces hard-heartedness, which forces our victory. It happened with Moses and Moses and them. God didn't harden the guy's heart. When good happened, he got harder.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't God. We've already talked about that. Yeah. But when you do, he can't stand it. And that's what happens. See, America is all about being free and having the right to be happy and to make choices and to make something out of yourself. Doesn't that sound like God? He gives you the right personally to go as far as you want to go. If you fail, it's on you. Because you can seek Him and go with Him. You don't have to fail. You don't have to fail another day in your life.
That's right.
But the enemy doesn't like it. But what happens is then he tries to attack, and then God can take him out. Mm-hmm. And you're about to see that all over the world.
Amen.
Father, we pray for the internet audience. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing on their life. We thank you for favor. Father, we pray that each and every person listening will step out of religion and step in knowing you and being known by you and living in your favor and living with faith and purpose. And we thank you, Lord, that we are receiving a new place. We're coming off this plateau into a new, heavier anointing, a new, heavier favor, a new, heavier blessing. We thank you that you've blessed your people with it, and we are just going to receive it in obedience and know that we have the grace to move forward in Jesus' name. Amen.